broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for October 14th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Hour 2 at 2, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We use the supreme law of the land. Wow. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, absolutely the answer. We need a restoration. We need to preserve the nation, not a revolution. Welcome to the broadcast. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, issue at a time, Friday. Listen to this. Donald's getting abused, as you know, by the mainstream press like no other. We've been getting abused just like the Donald. But listen to this statement when Donald was in Florida that he made, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before. Listen to this, though, okay?
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
The good sheriff in the house. What do you think of that statement from the Donald, Sheriff?
I think he's right on. You've had it happen to you. I've had it happen to me.
Oh, it's out of control, sir.
These people will do anything. And I have said the same thing that Donald has said. And I totally agree, and I have said this also. The Clintons are criminals. And they are. And she lies every time she gets up on a stand and gets in front of a microphone and a camera. She is. I mean, and not only that, she's not even good at it. Billy Bob Bubba was pretty good at it, but she's not. She's not good at it at all. She has, I've said this for years, she has nothing but disdain for the common people. That's come out to be true. And the worst thing I think about Hillary is with all her criminal background, now you want to put all that together with her lust for power. There is no one that has ever run for this office or any office that has a lust for power more than that woman. She wants this too awfully bad, and that scares me, and that's the reason why I really am afraid of her.
I worry for some of us who are taking on the Clintons, though. If she gets elected, my friend, I might have to run around with a body-proof, a bulletproof vest on or something.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
It is, and my wife has already told me to wear my vest at places I go. And so, you know, maybe we need to consider that because I'm not gonna stop. In fact, Sam, the battle when she takes office in January, man, this if we thought the battle against Obama was something, the battle against her is going to be astonishing.
Do you think Donald will win? There's three factors that I think might give Donald grief. Number one, the mainstream press. I give speeches, as you know, he who owns the media makes the rules. They have so much power. The only reason Hillary even has a gig right now is the mainstream press has protected her from the very get-go. The mainstream press has changed the fortunes for Bill and Hillary many times, and that's the only thing even keeping her really in the race at this point is their covering up of all of her lies and dishonesty and criminal activity. So the press is one factor. The second factor is the Republicans. The RNC is all turning on the Donald en masse. So the Republicans, I don't understand that even though they don't like the Donald, that's who their standard bearer is. And that's who they need to support at this point. Not that I'm for partisan politics, but so you got the media and then you got the Republicans. I'm not sure who's worse for the Donald. And then when you third mix in vote fraud, I almost wonder if it's a three-pronged death nail for the Donald. I pray it's not true, but I have those concerns for serious.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way around it. I think they've already proved, even some of the mainstream stations have proved how easy it is to hack into the voting computers. And so they even have said that China and Russia will probably hack into our computers and have already tried. And one scientist, a computer scientist specialist, showed how easy it was. And so, you know, I understand the people who say, why do you go vote? Why do you go vote? You know, because all of this other subterfuge exists against it, and the corruption of the politicians and the corruption of the media who brainwash people into voting for this nationally, internationally known criminal, Hillary Clinton. And they know that she's run a criminal enterprise in getting all these foreign countries to donate to the Clinton Foundation and to her personally and to make her this multimillionaire. Everybody knows it, and yet they still flock to her because the media comes out and says she is by far the best candidate and the most qualified, and she has the temperament to handle all this. All her temperament is to promote criminal activity and to promote herself.
Well, now you know that Hillary liked to make fun of Donald, saying, oh my gosh, we're in fear for our country. Donald has ties to Russia. It's a serious concern, right?
Yeah.
Well, the latest news from WorldNet Daily just came out yesterday. Hillary campaign chief, let me say that again, Hillary campaign chief linked to money laundering in Russia. But that headline's obliterated because Donald's kissing women.
Yeah, and not only that, but now he came out and said, some of these women I've never even met. Never even met. And that's a pretty strong statement to make, but this is my...
Well, and let me stop you there for a minute, though, because it's a statement that Donald may genuinely believe.
Yeah.
But I say that Donald can't know that, and I'm going to use a great example to compare where you've been attacked. There's a picture of this guy that was somehow at the Bundy Ranch for a little bit, a guy that's tried to run around the Patriot movement. No one liked him. Whenever he got there, people kind of thought he was crazy and really rejected them from the group, etc. Nevertheless, this guy goes ballistic in Vegas and murders some cops, right?
Right.
Well, then it turns out the Southern Poverty Law Center dredges up this photo where you and this guy are in a photo. They want to make everybody believe that you knew this guy, that he worked with us, that we were involved. That's their, not their claim, because they know they'll get sued and lose, but that's their inference by the way they display the photo and everything else. It turns out you've never met this guy. However, if you say you never met him, they'll just show the picture and say, see, Richie's lying. Richard's lying. It isn't true. Well, the truth is, if you're somehow a celebrity or a popular person, say a me or a you or a Donald Trump, and I use us in that order because I'm probably the least of us three, but I bring it up to say, even I have tons of pictures out there with tons of people that I might have met them, but not really. Like, there's 20 people there and five stake and we have a picture, and I shake hands with two of them and two or three get in the picture that I may never even have said hello to. Or whatever, and then all of a sudden now there's this tie, and that's what they're doing to Donald, but that's what they did to you with the most extreme example you could possibly create.
Yeah. Well, and that's a very good point, and that is...
So he may have, quote, kind of met them, right?
Well, yeah, and in fact, I didn't know the guy's name. I was at a meeting, and he stopped by a bunch in line with a bunch of people saying, hey, can I have a picture? Well, you know, he was in line to take a picture with just a bunch of other people. Sure, you know, and he went on. I didn't ever know his name, didn't know his background, didn't run a background check on him, okay? You know, so...
Heard that. See, negligent. You know? Now, I took a picture in Cleveland when I was at the Republican National Convention with this guy that was posing as Superman. And so, see, it could be said that I met that guy and I know him. But I don't even... He was in a Superman costume. I don't even really know if it was Clark Kent or if it was an imposter, or if it was really Superman. I just took my picture with him because that's what a lot of us media people were doing. It was kind of a fun thing because Cleveland, where the Republican convention was the birthplace of Superman. And so it... Anyway, but all I'm saying is these inferences are disingenuous. They're dishonest, sir. And that's what's being done right now.
Well, and there's one other thing, too. As a detective, I'm just going to tell you. If someone came to me and wanted to report a crime that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, which are some of these complaints against Donald on groping and kissing. First of all, kissing a girl is not against the law. It might be inappropriate and it might be disrespectful, but it's not against the law. The gropings, yeah, those are against the law. So, first of all, how do you kiss somebody again? You know, you just walk up and surprise somebody and you kiss them. You know what? That would last about a millisecond because you turn away. You turn your head. You don't continue a kiss.
Well, and if there's anybody around, like outside of an elevator and something like that, to me, if you're really that uncomfortable, yell. Say, what are you doing?
You're right. You know,
people, what's going on around here? You know, it seems to, but see, none of that happened.
Yeah.
Like this airplane.
After the break to follow up on that.
All right, this airplane example I want to get to, too, because the idea is preposterous. We'll talk about that. Former Sheriff Richard Mack with us, CSPOA.org. We're also going to get into the Ammon Bundy case. Did you know the good sheriff testified yesterday as we said he would? Details coming up.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, former Sheriff Richard Mack, Kirk Crosby on your radio. We're talking about these abuses that took place. You were mentioning, hey, kissing somebody's not against the law. Certainly groping them and touching them in places they may not want is against the law. And there's kind of a fine line there. You were finishing up, Sheriff.
Well, okay, so I'm a detective, right? And some girl comes in and wants to report something 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, as all of these allegations have been. I'm sorry. They lose immediate credibility. Why didn't you report this sooner? And the only question, the only answer to that question right now is politics. And not only this, Sam, none of these girls
came forward during the primary. What? They want to help Hillary, but they don't want to help Ted Cruz and Huckabee and all the other 15. These women don't want to help Carly Fiorina? Come on. Sam, I'm sorry, but that is so suspicious. And even Miss Utah, whoever, came forward. I have absolutely nothing but incredulity about all of this. You didn't want to help any of these other candidates, and you didn't want to help the primary process to get Trump out of the way. But now, to help a criminal, you want to now come forward. I'm sorry, Sam. None of that has any credibility to it at all. None. It has none. That they won, waited this long, and didn't even come forward during the primary.
Well, my point is the timing. Not only did they not come forward during the primary, they didn't come forward in any of the previous debates. Two of them, by the way, with Hillary. Many of them with the colleagues on the Republican side. They didn't even come out when he gained the nomination from the RNC. I mean, they wait till less than 30 days before the election. And then the statements by these women are beyond imagination. For example, this one lady says, hey, I was on an airplane sitting by the Donald, and the Donald literally was like an octopus. I mean, he just put his hands up my skirt, and he did all. I've been on a plane before, and I'm telling you right now, if that lady even showed any degree of discomfort, people around would have known about it. There's no witnesses saying it's true. This idea that the lady had to flee to the back of the plane for her safety from the Donald, I'm just not buying that stuff. Sheriff, are you?
No, I'm not, and the timing is why. But you're right. The scenario of that happening on a plane where no one else became involved in protecting her or helping her or seeing it, I mean, you mean they were alone within the seat and people in back didn't see Donald doing this? And I mean, you can't pick your nose on a plane without everybody complaining. You know, it's ridiculous. And like I say, as a detective, I would give these complaints no credibility whatsoever.
But the New York Times writes them up as if they're fact. Then the New York Times, literally, Donald threatens a lawsuit, and they say, bring it on, we'll teach you in court. Something's going on strange here to where maybe the New York Times is above the law like Bill and Hillary.
Well, the thing of it is, if they have these girls testify for them, the New York Times is completely shielded by all of that. There's if these girls are telling them this stuff and they print it, they can print it even and say we have anonymous sources that said it. But they have these girls' names. New York Times is shielded, and Donald should know that. And him saying I'm going to sue him, okay. So they don't have to verify these people's story. They're just saying what these girls said, and he can sue the girls. But he can't sue New York Times.
Well, and that's the problem, is how it's worded and at what point you cross the line into fame character when you move from facts to fiction. Anyway, there's some battles there, and I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this.
Well, I know what's going to happen is Hillary Clinton's going to be your next president.
You think so? You think Donald's going to lose?
Oh, yeah, I totally do.
All right, Kirk Cosby thinks Donald's going to win. I hope Donald wins, but I'm convinced the three factors of vote fraud, he who owns the media makes the rules, in other words, the mainstream press and the Republicans betraying the Donald. I don't know if Donald can withstand that three-pronged approach, not counting vote fraud. I hope Kurt's right, but I don't know. Kurt, any comments on this?
Well, at least to me, the biggest issue, they're all big, but when it comes right down to it, the vote fraud part is... I mean, if you control the vote, you can make sure anybody wins. You know?
I hear that. That's my big concern. So I pray that Kurt's right and that Donald wins. And I agree with Kurt that if it's up to the people, Donald will win handily. But with that fraud and Hillary being above the law, I just don't know, man. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Any other quick comments about this Trump deal before we move on?
Just real quick. Let's ask Mac about the both the love childs.
Okay.
Is he so aware of both of them?
There's two things here. There's a guy by the name of Danny Williams. He's 30 years old, and he's a black man, and he claims that he is the son of Bobby Ann Williams, a well-known prostitute in Arkansas, and Bill Clinton, who hired the prostitute, was with her on at least 13 occasions. Bobby Ann Williams claims that Bill's the father. He was the only white client she had during this time. And Billy, at first, paid payments of $700 a month, or that was the expectation. But then Bill Clinton cut off Danny. And now Danny says, I want a DNA test to prove it. They got a tabloid to pretend they did a DNA test. Now, that's been debunked. The tabloid at first tried to claim, well, hey, there's no connection with our DNA test. It all went to Ken Starr and that fiasco. But now the editor of that tabloid is saying it's bogus. We didn't do a DNA test. Now Danny wants a test, and the mainstream press isn't even willing to talk about it. Sheriff?
Well, you can't be surprised by the media not wanting to get into it, but if you want to let the guy know, I'll pay for the DNA test, and then nobody will have to worry about that. I would really be interested in seeing that, but maybe that's why Bill Clinton claims to be the first black president.
Yeah, good point.
Because he was fathering black children all over.
So, well, it's very strange, though. When you get allegations like Donald touched a girl on a plane or on a plane with no witnesses, I just don't see how that's credible. And then literally there's a man that says, hey, I want a DNA test. I'm convinced. My mother claims and I'm convinced that Bill Clinton is my father and I want to prove definitively. Well, if that was only one, but now there's another lady by the name of Whitney Gilmore. And Whitney Gilmore was the secretary in the White House while Bill was in office. And Whitney has a 16-year-old daughter named Alyssa. And Alyssa or Alyssa claims that Bill Clinton's her father, too, and she wants a DNA test.
Well, yeah, the media is not going to touch any of that. And these people are going to just be ignored. And just like the Democrats do everything. If you ask them something they don't like, they just ignore it and go on. And that's how they proceed. That's how they make their living.
Did you hear that the Hillary campaign chief literally linked to money laundering in Russia? See, we're ignoring critical, serious issues while all this stuff goes down, aren't we?
Yeah, but, you know, Trump kissed a girl and groped some girls. None of that compares to what Bill and Hillary have done. Not even close.
And by the way, we're not even defending any actions that Donald may have taken that would have been inappropriate either.
No, of course not. But I'm going to reiterate my flippant attitude towards all of this comes from the timing. And that none of these girls were concerned during the primary, even during the primary, say, hey, I want to protect these good candidates. I want to protect our country. Oh, no. Now, a month before the election, they want to help Hillary Clinton. No, sorry.
All right, we got a lot to cover. Not enough time to get it done in. We'll come back. We'll break down. Sheriff Richard Mack went to Oregon yesterday, and he's got details about it. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Always straight ahead on your favorite talk station.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Police in Layton, Utah are not apologizing for the false arrest, wrongful incarceration, and unwarranted criminal charges they filed against 18-year-old Subway employee Tanis Lloyd Ukena, who was accused of putting methamphetamine and THC in a soft drink purchased by a police sergeant through the restaurant's drive-through window. After the sergeant claimed to have difficulty focusing and feeling his extremities, he was taken to a nearby hospital. Detectives performed two tests on samples of the drink using a NIC kit, a field drug testing kit that is almost entirely unreliable. On the basis of a presumptive positive result, the police arrested Ukena on a felony charge of surreptitiously administering a poison. Utah State crime lab tests confirmed that the original result was a false positive. Security camera video offered no evidence that Ukena had adulterated the drink in any way. A lengthy and highly intrusive search of the restaurant yielded no evidence that drugs of any kind had been on the premises. During the 2 months following Ukena's entirely unjustified arrest and the Layton PD's high-profile release of a booking photo, the innocent 18-year-old endured a barrage of death threats from across the country, issued by people who assumed that he was part of the mythical war on police. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're jumping with Sheriff Richard Mack riding shotgun today. CSPOA.org, that is the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Become a member today, CSPOA.org. They called you back. They did have you on the stand. That's all the good news. Start from the beginning. What happened, sir?
Well, first of all, I want to make this clear that I was never subpoenaed. I think they talked about subpoenaing me at one point. But this request for me to testify came from Ammon. His attorneys contacted me, and they flew me out last week to testify. But because of some witnesses going long, including Ammon himself, I didn't make it to the stand until yesterday. So I flew back Wednesday night, and had an interview with his attorney, the lead attorney this time. I hadn't talked to him before. And then yesterday I got to court at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they started right on time. And there was somebody, I don't even know who, somebody was still up on the stand at that point. They said, you're next, and so they took me to this witness room right next to the entrance to the court. And, Sam, I told you this before, and I'll tell you again, I was extremely nervous about this. I've testified in court hundreds of times during my career. I mean, literally hundreds, if not thousands. I mean, you know, it's probably not a thousand, but literally hundreds of and hundreds of times, including on my lawsuit, standing before the Supreme Court, didn't testify there, but did testify at the district court in my lawsuit. Been to tax court for people in my county when I was sheriff, and been to murder trials and anything and everything from petty theft, shoplifting and bicycle theft to all the way up to murder. And this is the first time that I've really been that nervous because of everything riding on this, and I just cannot stop thinking about Ammon and his family and how vital this whole thing is to them, to the other six defendants, Ryan Bundy, Shauna Cox, and others. Some of them I don't know. And if you told me their names, I probably wouldn't even know them.
also, Sam, the work that we've been doing in the freedom movement was on trial. And Ammon testified for 3 days. And a lot of his testimony was about the importance and the responsibilities of the constitutional sheriff. And he put a lot of this back on the constitutional sheriff movement. And that's why I was asked to testify, is to back that up and to show legitimacy and credibility to the constitutional sheriff movement. And so as soon as I get on the stand, I'm asked, you know, my name and a spell, all that, and for the record. And then I'm asked about what I do. And I said, well, I'm a teacher, and I'm a consultant, and an author, and I'm the founder and president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And he asked me to say that again. Now, you know, I don't say this for anything except just the matter of fact for you to feel how the trial is going and what's going on in there. But his attorney has an extreme speech impediment. He stutters probably worse than anybody I've ever known. It's really an extreme problem for him. He did a great job. He would stutter, but he would get it out, and he got everything on the table that he wanted to. And primarily, you have to understand that Ammon is talking about that he prayed about this, and that he, when he testified, and I don't know this because I witnessed it, I just know Ammon. And Ammon told people why he went there, and that he did discuss this with his wife, and that he did discuss this with the Lord in prayer, and that he felt more strongly about doing this than anything in his entire life, just like he told you and me on the phone. And so I'm testifying as to all the conversations that I had with Ammon, with my association with him and his family at the Bunkerville situation in April of 2014, and that I had shared the stage with Ammon after the Bunkerville-Bundy standoff. And it came down to me actually testifying in a court of law, Sam, about the Article 6 oath of office required in the Constitution. And his attorney asked me specifically, who is required to take that oath? Of course, that was objected to. And Sam, the prosecution was objecting to everything I was saying all the way through. And this good attorney still got, he changed the wording of his question to where he satisfied the objections of the prosecutor, and he still got me to say everything that he wanted me to say. And at one point...
And let's make this clear. When you say he got you to say everything that he wanted you to say, we're not talking about him controlling what you say. What we're talking about is the attorney having the aptitude, the ability to get the information in front of the jury that he needs there based on facts, so the jury can see the truth. That's what the problem is here, is that it's very hard to lay out our side of the case when they object and object, and you got a hostile judge and everything else. The trick is to say, how do we let Richard Mack say what needs to be said? How do we do it in a way that the jury understands it? And how do we do it in a way that's factual? Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, there's a reason for me being there. And again, I was not subpoenaed. They asked me to come, and I went. And, in fact, both times, Sam, was on a moment's notice. The first time, even more. They called me in the morning last week, and I was there that evening. This time, they called me, it was about the same way. Wednesday morning, I was there Wednesday night. So it was pretty much the same. I had a little more time this time. But anyway, so I got there Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I took the stand. And I was on the stand about, I would say, close to an hour. And I'm testifying as to the importance of the constitutional sheriff, the CSPOA, the oath of office, and the importance of the constitutional sheriff. And in fact, I even testified about the history of the sheriff and why the sheriff is the head law enforcement authority in the county. I got to testify to all of that, Sam. And yes, that was on trial.
and the CSPOA was on trial. And I'm amazed that how this court case is going and that it's gone to that. But that's because Ammon testified for 3 days. Sam, I can tell you, I have never been on the stand in all the cases that I've ever done. I have never been on the stand for more than a couple of hours. On any of the cases that I just said, I've testified hundreds of times, never more than a couple of hours. And Ammon was on the stand for 3 days. I can tell you that that's almost cruel and unusual punishment, almost torture, mental.
Well, that was that way because they're hoping to get under Ammon's skin and make him say or do something stupid. They're hoping to, in cross-examination, to expose a weak point. The problem is they didn't get it done. Ammon Bundy was solid as a rock, told the truth, laid it out before the jury, and the jury saw the truth, I think. Well, whether they have the guts to stand with it might be another discussion.
Yeah. Well, his attorney told me that Ammon did very, very well on the stand.
Oh, good.
And that he helped us. And you and I talk about this in other conversations, that if Ammon takes the stand and they see his strength and humility and his sincerity, if the jury feels that and sees it, that there's no way that they won't be affected by it. And then they had me come in to reinforce that. As his attorney said, we had a few other last witnesses to kind of, as he put it, bat cleanup on a lot of this. And so my purpose there was to kind of clean up for Ammon. And, you know, he got on base, and I was supposed to knock him in.
Well, and hopefully that happened. Did you get a chance to discuss jurisdiction as well? Because one of the big keys that everyone needs to understand is this is a jurisdictional reality talk, right?
And that was specifically was something else that I was asked to do, and I said, of course. And I described the jurisdictional differences between the counties and the states and the federal government. And they specifically asked if the sheriff has the authority to keep the federal government out, and if the federal government has to ask permission from the sheriff to come into their counties. That was asked in court.
And if the answer is no, then there's anarchy in the country, sir.
Well, I answered the question. I answered it.
We'll talk about that answer in seconds. I also want to talk about where we think this is headed. The good sheriff with us, ladies and gentlemen. He testified yesterday for Ammon Bundy. And we think it's going quite well, but I'm just still fearful the judge won't have the guts.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Richard Mack riding shotgun, ladies and gentlemen. He testified in the Ammon Bundy trial yesterday in Oregon. By the way, Liberty Roundtable Live has had the most inside, the definitive coverage on this Ammon Bundy case right from the beginning. We were live, literally, at the rally to start the whole thing off, and then, hey, they went over and took over the occupation, or took over and created the occupation. We disagreed with Ammon at the time, but we remained fair-minded in our coverage and our discussion, treating Ammon Bundy fairly regardless. On the stand, Richard Mack described the occupation as a misguided protest. Nevertheless, I bring that up to say, nevertheless, that doesn't mean that we think Ammon's a bad guy or that he did the things the government's claiming. And that's a big difference between our opinion on whether it was smart to do or not versus the reality about the proper role of limited government. We believe the government was out of line. And jurisdiction is one of the primary points in this discussion. So they asked you flat out. They said, can the federal government enter a county's jurisdiction without permission from the sheriff? Is that what they said?
Yes.
Okay, and?
I said that they should never do that. And I said if the federal government really wants to work together as they claim, that they should want to seek out the sheriff before they come into his county and do anything. And I said, but lawfully, the sheriff is the ultimate authority there. It is not the federal government ultimate jurisdiction. It is the sheriff's. And if they want to have a spirit of cooperation, they should do it anyway. But I said legally and technically, it is the sheriff's county, and he's the one to decide if the federal government takes action in his county. And there were some objections in there as we went through, but I did get that out. And they even asked, Sam, and I thought this was pretty amazing too, has the federal government committed abusive, has the federal government done abusive things to American citizens? And I actually got...
And you busted out with a can and said, boy, howdy, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to, but I just simply said numerous times. And that got admitted. And so, like I said, this attorney did a great job getting this out. And twice, and I don't remember what it was, twice the judge turned to the jury and said, you will disregard those statements by Sheriff Mack. She actually called me sheriff. And
now, how can you just disregard statements? If you're there to testify as an expert, how do you just disregard that? Come on.
I know you can't. So once it's out there, I mean...
And that's why I kind of have a problem with the judge and their agenda here. And you would say, well, Sam, a jury decides, not the judge. And my response is, yeah, but it all depends on how the judge instructs the jury and what they believe their latitude is.
Yeah.
Right?
And I've done this before when I've been on the stand. I actually turned to the judge one time and I said, Your Honor, can I explain that answer? And she goes, no, it was a yes and no question. And I go, I have never been turned down on that, Sam. They would always say, of course, if you want to expand on the answer, go right ahead. If your answer is not a simple yes and no, explain your answer. And that's all I wanted to do, is I just want to explain my answer. And she said no. But the attorney knew what I wanted to do, and he rephrased another question, and I got to say it.
Yeah, like, did you throw your wife on the floor? Well, yes. Can I explain my answer? No, you can't. Well, the explanation is she was about to be shot and I saved her life.
Or we were doing an exercise.
Or yeah, okay, I'm just saying that when you hear the explanation, you go, oh, you know what? Sam's not an abuser to his wife. He loves her and he was saving her. No wonder he threw her on the ground to get her out of harm's way. He didn't really mean to hurt her or throw her down, but he saved her from getting shot. It's that kind of example that I give to illustrate that sometimes without the explanation, they're leading the witness, sir.
Right, of course, of course. And Sam, at one point, I even testified that Ammon Bundy is a good man.
Of course you did, because it's the truth.
It is, but usually opinions are not allowed. You know, speculation or opinions are not allowed. You can testify to what you saw, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I would simply say, not counting this belligerence of the federal government, abusing the ranchers, and Ammon standing up for himself, everything in his life proves of a good man.
Yes. And I told how I even testified that I told him to get out of there, that, you know, people were going to get hurt. And I even got to say, this wasn't because I didn't trust Ammon. It was because I didn't trust the government. And that all came out. And, you know, yes, there were objections. And, yes, there were times where, you know, like I said, she told the jury to ignore that or whatever. But and I wasn't being belligerent, and I wasn't trying to say stuff out of order. But you know what? I know when attorneys are going to object. And I said it before he had a chance to get up. And then after, and he was a little bit slow a couple of times on pulling the objection trigger. And I will say that Ryan Bundy was representing himself with an attorney sitting next to him at his table. But he, after I finished with the Ammon's part, then Ryan asked me a few questions. And then Shauna Cox, same thing, representing herself, asked me a few questions. And Sam, I want everybody to know this. If you are ever considering representing yourself in such a high-profile case where you're going to be spending 10 years or more in prison, do not ever represent yourself. I don't care what you think about the corruption of the federal courts or the corruption of attorneys. There are good ones out there. They will help you. And if you go into the belly of the beast thinking that you can handle it and that you can do it yourself, you're crazy. And I'm going to tell you that. You're crazy. And it did not go well for Ryan, and it went even worse for Shauna Cox. And Shauna Cox asked me one question. It was objected to. And then they asked her if she had any other questions, and she didn't know what to do, and that was it. She got 5 seconds, and it was objected to. And, in fact, I'll tell you her question, Sam. If you had been sheriff, would you have arrested Ammon Bundy?
See, and the problem is that puts me in a corner where I'd have to say I don't know all the details. I can't answer that question.
Well, I know she was talking about when Ammon met with Sheriff Ward. And I talked about that. I testified about that, too. I said I was amazed. And totally surprised that Ammon is seeking out meetings with, going to town hall meetings and seeking out meetings with the sheriff, and actually met with the sheriff and was trying to have meetings with the FBI. Here he is trying to do everything peaceful and just to negotiate and talk to people. And he meets with the sheriff at least twice, and he's seen on national television and on YouTube shaking hands with the sheriff. I said, why didn't the sheriff just arrest him? If there was such a horrible crime being committed, why didn't he take him into custody? He shook his hand. While you're shaking hand, put some handcuffs on him and tell him he's under arrest. And so, pursuant to my testimony there, Shauna Cox asked, if you had been the sheriff, would you have arrested? That's what it was about, Sam.
And?
I didn't get to answer, and I knew the attorney was objecting before she even finished the question, and I knew he was going to, and I didn't even make an attempt to answer. You know, I could have blurted out a real quick yes or whatever, you know, or no, whatever. But that's also, as you alluded to, needed to be explained. It was not a yes and no question.
Well, and that's why I say it depends on so many details that you're not privy to as well.
I know. But he objected. He says, we're not here to speculate. That's irrelevant, you know. And he gave about three different reasons. And, of course, the judge sustained the objection. And then she said, do you have any other questions? Shauna didn't know what to do. Ammon's attorney knew what to do. And I was on the stand referring to his questioning almost an hour. Shauna's lasted 5 seconds.
The question is, do you think we'll have justice here? Do you think the judge can be fair? Or do you think it's kind of an already predetermined outcome because the government cannot lose this one? So what do you think?
I sent out an email, and I think the judge can be ignored in this situation if the jury does their job. And so my prayers are right now, yes, with Ammon and Ryan and Shauna and the rest of the defendants, but mostly my prayers right now, Sam, are aimed at the jury. Everyone, please pray for that jury to do the right thing, to send these people home, and to find them not guilty. Everyone needs to pray for that. Let's be united in our fasting and prayers for the jury to do the right thing. There's about, I would say there's alternates there on the jury, and it seemed like to me there was about 16 on the jury, but 12 will make the decision. But, Sam, let's all pray for that jury. This is the one time that a trial is all about God, family, and country. This really is a God, family, and country. Now, you and I didn't agree with what Ammon did, but we both know that he is a sincere and honest and good man. And we know that he did this because he felt it was the right thing to do.
With the best of intentions, and we know the government's out of control, and jurisdictionally they have a problem from the get-go, we've got to restore that jurisdictional reality and proper role of government. I pray that we have success. My only worry is if the judge gives instructions to an ignorant jury who don't understand what their latitude really is, and they're kind of pigeonholed into an outcome that they falsely believe is their only opportunities or choices based on what the judge instructs them. That's my biggest fear here, sir.
Right, mine too.
All right, my friend, Godspeed. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for standing tall for the sacred cause of liberty. And thank you for deciding Liberty Roundtable is important enough to be part of the discussion, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate being on with you.
Talk to you soon. Godspeed. There you go, Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen. CSPOA.org. Become a lifetime member, as I am today. This nation shall endure.